This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek show number 356, recorded on May 24th, 2018. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets of the year. News, reviews, product updates, and conversations all through the I'm your host, Jim Carlson, broadcasting live from the Average Guy Studios in Bellevue, Nebraska. That literally, Mike, we went from winter at the beginning of May to summer here at the end of May. Like,
yeah, zero spring. There was no transition. Hey, you want to be, 20 degrees or 90? No difference.
Not yeah, it was so crazy. I went out for a bike ride on Monday, and it was really, really nice. It was maybe that was the one day of spring. It was like 72 degrees. It was beautiful, no humidity. Tuesday, 90 and hot and humid already. And it's like, holy crap. So we're in the throes of summer. I know probably where you're listening, unless you're down under, you are probably headed into summer as well. And so we have a lot of hot weather to complain about, at least coming up for the next couple months. Of course, you can catch all the show notes for this show, and there'll be a few of them out there out at theaverageguy.tv. Don't forget, you can subscribe using our mobile app. Easiest way to probably listen to us on the road if you want to do it live. Many of you are doing it, and you just head out to homegadgetgeeks.com. Download the app for free. You can listen on the road, after the fact, whatever. It's out there for you. I'll replace that. If you wait, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 days afterwards, you can use that app. I replace the video or the audio, the live audio, with edited audio. And so you can catch it out there as well. So get it and download it. Don't forget, if you're on Apple, the Apple Podcast app, you can subscribe, rate, and review right from there. Nobody ever does, and it's okay. I'm not hurt or offended that you... Nobody ever rates or reviews this podcast. It's okay. I'm not bitter about it at all. But if you want to, you can. I'm just saying, it'd be nice. Subscribe. If you're on YouTube, subscribe. We have two channels, by the way, on YouTube. We have a live channel and we have a recorded one. Subscribe on both. If you want to know when we're going live, subscribe there. If you want to know when I drop the recorded version, subscribe there. But get one of those subscribed. All right. Just get it done. And then like a bunch of you have. So appreciate that. And then if you listen over on Spreaker, you can do what you do over there. We want to thank Michael Librant for coming on 2 weeks ago. Last week, I'm going to be 100% honest with you, Mike. I got to Thursday. I said, I don't want a podcast. Like I was tired. Like it's one of those, I'm sure you have this probably more now than ever, but all my children, my interns, arrived at Gallup last week.
And you got 15 of them. That's way more than I have. So
I got 15 new children all at once. And I just didn't have the energy. So I appreciate you guys letting me have the week off. Now, Mike, I know how you feel now. You probably feel this way all the time with having a couple at home. You're like, oh, dude, I just want to sleep. Like 9 o'clock, you're in bed, right?
Miss the ability to just on the weekends just say, I'm going to take a nap. You know, like you just can't do that. You just can't like, oh, I'm going to take a nap or, I'm going to go to bed early tonight. It's not an option.
No, and I still have that option, but I need to do it more. It's just, anyway, so I appreciate, we took last week off. Because when you create a podcast like this, it's not just an hour or two or even three on Thursday nights.
No.
It's another 2 hours of the video editing, getting it uploaded, putting it all in the right places, getting the audio done, writing the show notes, getting it posted, posting to all the different sites we post to. And so, you've done this before. So it takes, I podcast with Dave Jackson from 9:30 to 11. And then I would do a little bit before and a little bit after. And all of a sudden your whole morning's gone,
Right.
And so by not podcasting on Thursday, I actually get my Friday nights back and I get my Saturday, not all of the mornings back, but I get a little bit of that Saturday back. And so it is nice when I take a little downtime, it is nice to get that weekend back. And have that time. So if you're listening and you're wondering where the heck were they last week, or you're just playing catch up, that happens too. I know many of you are behind and you're listening. Appreciate you guys giving me the week off. Don't forget, we got a little crypto conversation. We'll catch you up on that. I know a lot of you don't listen to that, and we're going to still do it. So it'll be out there if you want to follow along what's going on. Actually, some big news from me and a little bit from Mike around crypto. So if you want to stay around for the post show, we'll talk a little bit about that. I know even a lot of the live listeners might kind of drop off I've got some interesting things, I think, to say about crypto tonight. So stay around and listen in the post show. All right, let's dig in a little bit. One of the things I do want to let people know, if you haven't, and I know a lot in our community have this NVIDIA Shield. And so if you have one of those, new update available. There's a new UI. I think you got to go get it and bring it down. It'll probably update automatically if you don't do anything. I don't use mine very much, so I'll probably need to pop over there and get that. But Android Oreo is out and the update's available. If you've got a Shield, and I know a lot of our listeners do, go out there and check that out. It's supposed to have kind of a new UI associated with it. And of course, it's always, Android always does things perfectly. No, they don't. And, you know, so you will be, although they have a lot better track record than Windows, apparently, these days. So check it out. Mike, do you do a Shield?
Or I don't, but I was going to, so I'm an Xbox One guy. That's our main hub in our living room, you know, for all of our apps and stuff like that. So what are you, I thought the Shield was your main media device in your living room.
It's going to make it that, but Sarah won't, she won't really leave the media center until it doesn't work anymore. Like,
okay,
she knows it, it works, it's recording. I still get guide data.
Right.
Like, it works. It doesn't, like, Plex still does some weird things on recordings. And the media center just does it like it's supposed to 95% of the time.
Right.
So she's not going to move until, I mean, I've told her we're going to have to move at some point. Like, this is your next move onto the Shield. Okay. Well, but I'm not going to move until I have to.
Right.
So Tony says they're on the Shield with the PS View. Wife does well with it. Yeah. I have no problems with, once we move to it, she'll be fine. She just doesn't want to learn something new. She's like, nope. This is where I want to be. It works. And I'm fine with that, actually. It's sitting there waiting, ready.
The Plex client on the Xbox actually has a lot more problems than every other device. So it cannot do direct play and direct stream for any TV recorded stuff. It just doesn't work. So you have to turn that off. And there's just like you said, with TV, it's still not perfect. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons we still love YouTube TV, is because now we can just use their DVR. It's unlimited. You're not going to have anything wonky. The only thing you're missing out on is commercial skipping.
Yeah, and $40 a month.
True. Yeah, only $40 a month. Not bad, I don't think.
Yeah.
For cable channels and your local and unlimited DVR.
Yeah. You know, I bumped my Cox to unlimited a couple months ago because we were running a ton of crypto stuff and storage and Burst. Nah, Burst isn't really that intensive, but storage for sure. Yes. And then Saya was doing some weird things. And I got close and I ended up paying almost as much as I would for an unlimited plan. And the extra, it was like 100. And actually, I think I did pay more. To be honest, I think I paid more.
Because they're expensive.
I know. It's $10 for a 10 gig over or something like
that. I think 10 for right? 50.
50, right.
Right.
And I blew through it, man. It was like I did. So I took the unlimited plan. And then for April, I ended up doing about 3.7 terabytes of bandwidth on the unlimited plan. Yeah. Storage and Saya were just cranking. Plus, we'll talk about this a little bit later. I upgraded my backups to Backblaze, and I've mentioned that here. I'll talk about that here in a little bit. But that was getting 1.5 of that is getting all my backups up there as well. But so I've been watching the trend, and now I'm trending under 500 gig. So it's kind of like, well, I think I'm probably going to call them and downgrade back to the regular plan. That storage have really calmed down. They were doing a lot of testing, and so they were sending out packets of storage that weren't real, but they were real. If that makes sense, like they weren't customer data. They weren't actually data from customer storing. It was them running tests. And so they were creating this artificial data and sending it on the network to do some testing and stuff. Well, man, it was chatty. And so paying an extra $50 a month for unlimited is nice. I don't have to worry about it. All of a sudden, I don't care what movies we watch or how many we download, you know?
I've been thinking about doing that on my Verizon, because I know you're on Sprint and you still have unlimited, but we don't. And it wasn't an issue until Emmett, we've turned into the typical parents that if Emmett is like crying on a car ride down to the farm, it's like, hey, get Daniel Tiger out and stream Daniel Tiger, right? But like, we didn't realize we are now blowing through our 8 gig limit. It's not much when you start streaming those. So I'm like, we might need to go to the unlimited that Verizon.
What's the price difference?
See, I don't know. I need to check into that and see what the difference would be. I know that the one thing I didn't like about it was on the Verizon Unlimited, they do not allow you to use a corporate discount. So if your company gets like a 10% discount, they won't apply that to an unlimited plan. Okay. I don't think it's too much more. I'll probably just end up switching to it. It's probably worth it just to not even have to worry about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things you kind of think I could set up my phone as a hotspot and run all that crypto stuff when it's getting intense, you know, run it that way.
Right.
And cause that's unlimited and take it back. I don't know. It's been an interesting question. I think this is where we fall into this weird, like $50 is not, I mean, hey, $50 is $50, but to have that peace of mind, like, hey, I don't ever have to think about my bandwidth again. I mean, I went years that way. And then they, you know, Cox did the 1 terabyte plan. And I thought that was going to be enough. But as we've tried this crypto stuff, I blew through those. Yeah, no, the problem is you can't control those services. Like you can't, yes, you could say, okay, I'm only going to give it 500 meg. Well, first of all, you won't make anything on 500 meg. You got to give it terabytes. And so like, you know, I probably gave it 16 terabytes of available space, not thinking like, holy crap, if it actually tries to use all that.
Yeah, you're going to start blowing through stuff. And on top of that, with Cox, where you and I live, we only get about 10 meg up for our upload speed. And if your file services start eating up that, like try to have a FaceTime call or a video call or do a Skype call or podcast with any of that stuff running, and it chokes it. If we had gigabit, you know, it wouldn't be a problem because it's not going to throttle that upload speed.
Right. Right.
But it gets really hard when you have all these things competing for that 10 meg up. That's not a lot of bandwidth to play with.
No. And I'd come in, I'd have to check, like I'd check my phone. Okay. What's running? What's uploading? Do I got to shut some things down? Do I need to turn some things off just so I could podcast? That wasn't even a bandwidth issue. And now then thinking like, okay, you know, I feel all of a sudden I feel super European. Like I have to keep track of every single thing I'm doing, you know, to make sure. So it was, I don't know. Certainly that bandwidth has slowed down. I still have those two services. I still have Saya, although Saya is broken at the moment. I put it into the new Bitdefender box, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes. And I cannot get Saya past it. It comes on and then it says it can't reach the server anymore. And I've done port forwarding and all that stuff you're supposed to do, whatever reason it's stopping it. So we'll talk some more about that in post show as well. But so, I've got a kind of decision, you know, it's like, hey, I think midway through the cycle. So I got a couple weeks before I need to do anything, but I think I may call them and drop it back down to the $90 level, which is still pretty expensive. Some of you listening have shared with me, you get way more for less than that.
That's what I've heard too.
You know, yeah. It's a little frustrating when you tell me that, by the way. I'm like, not a good thing. We used to have such good pricing, but
I know.
It's just not there. And even CenturyLink, who's supposed to provide some kind of, you know, competition, doesn't. Not out here in Bellevue.
Not out here in Elkhorn either.
Okay. Yeah, they're not. So there's some things going on with that. If you've got that NVIDIA Shield, yeah, it's been a slow time for media servers. Whatever's out is out, and there hasn't been a lot of new stuff out there, but get that updated to Oreo if you've got one of those. One of the things, just a side note, we won't spend a lot of time, but there was a service I used for quite a few years called Stumble Upon, and it was back
Stumble Upon. That was like, in high school, we all had our laptops in high school, and once someone discovered Stumble Upon, that was that was the killer of a lot of people's grades in high school.
Well, it was an era of, you know, content discovery on the internet was like the radio. You would just, you would randomly try to find things. And Mike, do you think, have your surfing habits changed in the last 5 or 6 years? And where do you think, are you still like randomly looking for things why do you think that's changed? What do you think?
That's a good point. I mean, I have my standard stuff I need to go to.
Yeah.
And I think it's because our social media sites feed us that random bits that we need, right? Like we don't need to go searching because we find random videos on stuff. Like you scroll through your feed and you see interesting science videos, you see a bunch of different stuff. So I don't think there's really the need. Social media has like curates that stuff now for you, whereas we didn't have that before.
Yeah.
So Stumble Upon was it.
Yeah, it was. I think that was a precursor to a lot of the Facebook and the Twitter and some of those socially aggregated feeds, right, where we're getting them from our friends now, which is good and bad. You know, as we learn
the same stuff over and over, though, it's hard to find that really unique stuff to stumble upon.
It is. If you can get something to go viral, it gets amazingly viral. Yeah. But if you, it's not like I don't think the internet is as spread out as it used to be. And so we're kind of, it's what allowed the 2016 election here in the United States to go awry like it did, because we're so, if you make an influence on Facebook or you make an influence on Twitter, and you really only have to attack one or two surfaces to get that kind of exposure and that kind of manipulation going, right? Where before, okay, you're going to have to really do some work to get, you know, in a world where things weren't aggregated on social, you didn't have to worry about that as much. And I'm not here to debate good or bad. That's just what it is. And so I too was thinking, like, how do I get my news?
Yeah.
And it's a random Twitter or Facebook thing. That's really the two.
Wall Street Journal, I log in every morning. Right. I get my financial news, my market the news.
News app on my phone. I'll go to in the morning sometime. I do.
I should check that out.
What's there?
Yeah. No, yeah. It is there. And I haven't really used it.
Kind of keeps me up to date on what's going on politically. Check the market. I check, Christ of Bitcoin, some of those kinds of things and that.
Right.
Check it once a day. There's plenty. We have plenty of TVs around Gallup where you can see the news all day. So you can pop by and kind of see. The other thing, you know, I've subscribed to some news-like channels on Facebook. I'm sorry, on YouTube. And so I get alerts whenever they have a new video out.
Yeah.
So I'm finding, you know, I've been, I don't know about you, but I've been following this, the Kilauea, you know, volcano, the eruptions going on in Hawaii right now.
Yeah. My buddy is actually flying to Hawaii today. I'm like,
really?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully he's not going to the Big Island.
No, he's going to Maui, I think.
Good. Yeah. The Big Island is a mess. And so I've been getting some news from those interesting niche news sources, just on YouTube. And so every day I check my YouTube feed. You know, I watch my crypto update on YouTube. I follow this family that's building a timber frame house in Idaho on YouTube. I get, you know, I look for, I've been watching this channel called Honest Trailers, which is just super funny. It's this movie voice guy, but it's like, you know, he tells you kind of the real funny stories about the movies.
Okay.
It's called Honest Trailers. It's pretty funny. Like, it takes every movie and just kind of chops it down.
Have you ever watched Philip DeFranco?
Uh-uh.
Philly D is pretty good. Yeah. If you want, he brings the news. He brings pop culture news a lot, but he brings the big stuff too. You're going to think that he's like a joke at first, the first time you watch him. Then you'll realize he does a really good job. But he does it in more of an entertaining way, that especially the younger generation can watch.
Is that like a John Oliver style then, the way he's doing it? Have you ever watched John Oliver?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I haven't watched John Oliver that much, but from what I've seen, yeah, it does seem.
Yeah, I like Oliver. But anyways, back to the point, I'm getting those through aggregations on social, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. So goodbye to stumble upon. It's off. Yeah. A lot of those sites were gone a long time ago. But it's been online for 16 years.
It's impressive.
Isn't that crazy?
It's a good run. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder how many users they were getting at the end though.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they had at their peak, they were at 40 million users.
Okay.
It was just like, Dig. Did you know Dig? Did you know the site dig.com?
Yep,
same idea, right?
That was, Justin.
Kevin Rose.
Kevin Rose. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kevin Rose. Yeah. Dig, one of the most popular podcasts in its day. Dig Nation. And, they just, that kind of flamed out on them, you know, that reached this peak of frenzy and those two guys, I forget the other guy's name. Did you say it? Kevin Rose. And there was another guy. Anyways, all they would do is get on and talk about, they would read five news stories and just talk about it.
Yeah.
They did some live appearances. They were super popular. And then,
Alex Ulbricht.
Yeah. There we go.
Anthony Rayner.
Yeah.
Coming in clutch.
Right. They were just gone one day. Just as quickly as it had come, it had gone. So goodbye, StumbleUpon, if you were using that. I still submit to Dig. I still submit this podcast to Dig.
Do you really?
Yeah. I don't know. It's one click on YouTube. So
yeah, it's true.
you know, it's not like it takes much. But I used to go to StumbleUpon, and then something weird happened where I couldn't get the feed in there or something, and I was just like, oh, screw it. It's not worth it. So, Mike, where are you doing your cloud storage these days? Because I think we're on the cusp of another cloud storage war that could be coming up. When you think about where you store, not backups, but just where you're storing your music files and photography stuff, where are you doing that at?
So all of my document files are Dropbox. My photos are the Apple Photo Library. And music is all streamed on Spotify. And everything else that I have music-wise is stored locally here on hard drives. But we use Spotify for all of our music. So between Dropbox and Apple Music, a little bit of Google Drive if it's business-related. So if it's Upshot, you know, that's through the Google business apps. That's all through OneDrive. And then for work at Carson, it's OneDrive.
And so
I'm literally using all of them.
Are you paying personally for any of those services?
All of them, I think.
Oh, really?
I think I'm paying for Dropbox. I'm paying for two different business accounts on Google, and which isn't that expensive. I think it's like $5 a user or $15 a month, maybe something like that. And then for Apple, it's only like $2 a month for the plan I have.
And how much storage do you get for that? Probably not a lot.
Say like, 500 gig.
Okay, something like that. That's still pretty good if it's that much. Everybody's about the $10 for 10 ter- you know, $10 a month. Let's say $120 a month for a terabyte. That's kind of, there's some variations of that, and you can find some cheaper plans. But basically, I think Amazon announced this week they just picked it up to 2 terabytes. So now 2 terabytes for $120. I kind of think others are going to maybe follow. So you might want to, if you are paying for your cloud storage somewhere and you got a lot of it, and if you're pushing it right to the 1 terabyte limit, you might want to look through or kind of keep your eye on what's going on with cloud storage. Cause I think you may be able to, here's the pain, right? Though. So I have it at Google. Let's say I've got 1 terabyte at Google. I'm paying the same price. I could get twice that at Amazon. Then I got to move it.
Yeah.
You know,
See, but it's not that hard to move it if you're just on one machine. You just drag and drop over to the new app.
Yeah, but that's a lot of bandwidth, my friend.
Yeah, true, depending on how much you have.
You got to bring it down and put it back up. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah. So, you know, they kind of get you locked in on some of those where now, you know, again, back to our early discussion about bandwidth. If I have a 1 terabyte limit and I'm going to move these things, it's going to take me a month or so to get it all moved, and it's going to consume bandwidth every single second. I mean, it is one of those, as we get bigger and bigger and bigger file stores in the cloud, moving off of those is not just like, oh, I'm just going to transfer it across my local network anymore.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm going to move it from one home server to another. No, you're not. You're, you know, and it just, it's becoming, you know, when CrashPlan made its announcement last year, pricing change, Mike Howard just went through the roof. And like, I can't, you know, you can't trust them and this is evil. And I didn't really understand at the time, you know, it's kind of like, Mike, just move. But Mike has an enormous amount of storage. And, you know, I just recently changed over to Backblaze from CrashPlan. CrashPlan's doing some weird stuff and it just wasn't working right. So Mike, I think I said on the show here a couple, maybe even 2 months ago, I was making the move over to Backblaze.
Yeah, because that's what got me interested in it. I think we found it the same time.
Relatively. Yeah. And so I started moving data, and it takes a while. And I have like 1.5 terabytes.
I know. That's my thing, too. I'm moving over 2.5 terabytes, and it's taken months. I can't imagine what he had to go through. Mike Howard, I mean, he's got, 15 terabytes, they say, of stuff? It's going to take over a year.
Yeah, it could take a long time. And, you know,
what happens when that goes out in between then, you know? So for him, it's a big deal.
Yeah. And how do you verify that all the files have come across? And I mean, it's a big nightmare. Ken says in the chat room, there was a service where you could transfer directly between services. Yeah. And I think it was, what was the name of that? There were a couple cloud-based, not always free, and they didn't have everything. And, you know, in this case, I'm pretty sure they were only cloud services like Google, and they didn't cover some of the backups. They may have gotten better. I haven't looked at them in a while, but still something. Yeah. Mover.io says Tony, man, Tony is on the, He's on the answer wagon today. He's always good at that. Mover.io was, I think, didn't we interview them? Might have even interviewed
Mover?
Them. Yeah.
Did we?
I think I did. Maybe not you. This could have been.
Maybe not me. Yeah, I don't think I.
This could have been pre-Uyghur. They're not free. They're charging out there. I wonder what their services are now. There may be some free moves, but it's something considering. Like, I don't think it's common for the average guy to have that nailed down. Like, okay, how am I going to move from Google to OneDrive? Or how am I going to move from my backups from Backblaze to CrashPlan? I did get in the month, you know, my bandwidth's down so much now because everything transferred over. I was able to get about 1.5 terabytes in a, let's say 35 or 40 days. It was not quite a month, but it was just a little bit over getting that over there. I was pleasantly surprised. My April bill on Backblaze for that, of course, April's going to be smaller because all the data wasn't there. $2.50 was my, for, you know, let's just say it's less than a terabyte.
Right.
Okay. Well, it's not too bad.
No.
So everything is there. My May bill, $6. Still not bad. 1.5.
Still not bad at all.
$6. I rarely touch it. I'm coming off that Moro, you know, that Moro data device, which smartly caches everything. So it keeps everything I'm using local and only sends it to the cloud if there's a change or, you know, if it needs to be updated for some reason. But I'm not ever, you know, I'm pulling back whatever I need. If it's local cache, it's never going to the cloud to get it. So it's that hybrid. And I have a terabyte there, so I'm in pretty good shape. Like, I don't feel like a lot of my files are going to go once they're in the cloud. I don't think I have to worry about it. A lot of that, what I'm going to use from here on out, is going to stay on that Moro data box. So, I was pleasantly surprised, Mike. I actually thought I would, you know, the bill would be like $25.
I would have been worried too, but pleasantly surprised. It's always good when that happens.
Yeah, no, $6. So a pretty good experiment when we think of, did you do anything with Backblaze? Did you get anything over there? Or
yeah, it's still backing up. So my R710 is my new NAS until I stop doing burst. And it's sending stuff over there. So I capped it though. So in Backblaze on the desktop version, I know you don't have these controls on yours, but you can tell it exactly how much bandwidth you want to use. So I have it turned down. So I knew it was going to take a few months the way I said it. I don't let it just go full throttle. So it'll be done here, I think, at the end of this month, backing up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and have you looked at the pricing at all? To
$60 a year for me.
Because you're using the desktop client for that.
Exactly. So what you can offer the NAS, because my NAS is a Windows 10 box, so you can just use the desktop. It's unlimited for $60 a month. Not bad.
Yeah. No, it's a good way to do it.
So that's $5, but still not much cheaper. I mean, if you're at $7, right?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. And it may get it'll be interesting to see. That was moving data in. I pay if I pull it back out. I mean, I pay to put a little bit in. I pay a little bit for storage. Then I pay more when you pull it down is when you really pay for that. You pay, you know, the price got really cheap. I think
so. It's pulling down is more, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I have to double check. You know what?
That would make sense because you're going to put up a lot, but you don't need to pull it back.
Right. Yeah. You know, I should take a look because they just changed prices too. Let's see if we've got a little price personal backup. And I'm using their B2 storage. So that's if you're following along at home. And I'm using their, bucket or their, what do they call it? Cause you create B2 is that way. And then you create a bucket and you say, hey, I want this bucket, and it gives you a number. And then I put that number in the Moro data box, and it automatically connects to it and then starts using that bucket of storage, to get it done here. Let's see if I can get, you know, where are the prices when you need them? Right. That's the, I'll keep looking, but it seemed pretty reasonable, and it'll be one of those things I'm going to kind of keep my eye on too, but it's that price per something. And, you know, I don't have the discipline to sit down and try and actually figure that out. It's like, well, I'm going to get close and that's going to be good enough. And we'll give it a shot that way. So, if you're struggling with CrashPlan, so far so good on Backblaze. They've been pretty good. You can do it like Mike's doing it with the client backup and $60 a year. Or if you want to run, if you've got more of a NAS or you want to run more than that, you can you can run it out through their B2 service. Give that, mm-hmm. give that a look as well. Hey, speaking of installs, you were, you've had a little project going on. Dave McCabe has been all about wireless and mesh networking on Reset, if you haven't caught up on that. But are you doing a little Wi-Fi work at your place?
I am, yeah. Doing a little work. So this was all spawned because actually, so my father-in-law and mother-in-law, we got them installed with a Ring floodlight cam. I don't know if you looked at those. They're kind of cool. So the Ring doorbells, they also make a floodlight cam that goes where any floodlight you already had installed attaches to the wires. It's got the camera on it. It's Wi-Fi. Well, we got it all set up for them down at their farm, and their Wi-Fi was just terrible. Like, I knew about it. They were using one of my old Airport Expresses, so those tiny little units, and it just wasn't enough Wi-Fi coverage for their entire house. So I told them, I said, hey, I've been looking to upgrade my Wi-Fi anyway. I will give you guys my Airport Extreme that I have that I've been using as an access point. I'll give you guys that one. So when I got back home this week, I was like, okay, now's a good time to pull the trigger. So I've been looking at these Ubiquiti access points, and they're pretty nice. Not necessarily the mesh networking, so they do have a mesh network solution. But so they're the Unify ones. So flat, look like a little space shuttle that you put up on your ceiling or on your wall. So this is the one I chose, was the APAC Pro. So this has 3x3 MIMO, which is, you know, they have 4x4 now, but 3x3 is still pretty good. Theoretical speeds, I think combined, you know, they always add up the 2.4 and the 5 gigahertz. I think it's 1300 megabits per second, compared to if you did 4x4, you'd get to 1700. But I'm not really transferring a lot of files over Wi-Fi. If I'm down here editing movies and transferring files, this computer is hardwired in the network. So I wasn't too worried about that. But the range on these things is incredible. So before I had the Airport Extreme, the newest edition, the AC version, and coverage on my house, I couldn't complain. It was actually pretty good. I got coverage everywhere. The basement was a little spotty, and then outside it wasn't as far as I wanted it to be. But this one unit, and it's actually pretty small. I mean, this is the box, and obviously the circle is smaller than your hand and super flat. So I put this in the ceiling, attached to the ceiling in my living room, and I was walking around the outside of my house, and it goes for a pretty long ways. And just the customizable options on the Ubiquiti side is fantastic. So you can install a controller if you want. So the controller is software that you can run on if you have like a server style computer, something that's always on in the home. You can run a controller, gives you a little bit more options, or they have now made it so that you can set these things up with your phone, kind of like more your traditional router access point, and then get everything up and going. So the thing I like about this, though, is that these are relatively cheap because they're just access points. I know a lot of people that get into this, they'll get one of these and like, well, I don't have any routing options. Well, these are straight access points. But the amount of options, once you get into that controller, you can customize a bunch of different stuff. I think it can have up to 4 SSIDs. You can VLAN tag all of them if you want. So I've got my main network. I've got a guest network that has a VLAN tag. So it plays very nicely with my pfSense router. But you got to make sure, like, if you don't have something like pfSense or a router in the background, you're going to have something else doing your routing. But I've been super impressed. I've had it up for about 2 or 3 days now. The amount of data it collects is very interesting. I'm not sure how that's all happening. I don't know if I didn't have the controller running, if the controller software running on my server, if I would be getting that sort of data. But it tells me what my biggest client is, who's using the most data, what the data current throughput is, all that stuff, which is very interesting because I'm used to only getting that if you have the router on, right? Like pfSense gives me that data, but now I'm getting it if I look at the access point and look at the controller. So kind of interesting. But yeah, this was and here's a pro tip. If you have already a PoE switch, so I have a 8-port PoE switch in my attic because I was using it for my security cameras. There's 2 versions of this on Amazon, but you have to kind of hunt and peck for this one. This is the version without the injector. So they have a PoE injector usually with the $180 version. This is $120 without the PoE injector. So $60 you save by not needing that PoE injector. So if you already have one, you can save $60. So $120 for each of these, which for the amount of power they kick out is pretty impressive.
And how many did you get?
Just one.
Just one? And it's covering, you
well,
say
it's the
covered.
Entire house.
Nice.
Now I live in a ranch style.
Outside too?
Yeah. So that's what I was saying. I walked around outside. It's everywhere. So I live in a ranch style, so that's upstairs. I'm in my basement, and I get perfect signal down here as well. So it's the amount of power, and all the power, you can actually customize it. So as you're going through, obviously picking your channels, but then picking the power output for each radio, there's a lot of options. It's got beamforming, so you can try and kick more people over to the 5G if that's what you want, or do more of a balanced between the two radios. And then it's also got airtime fairness, if that's someone you're looking for. So if you are in a spot with a bunch of users, airtime fairness is going to help you out, kind of distribute the load throughout the people so you don't have one person that hogs all of the bandwidth. In a home, it's not going to make that much of a difference. You don't have enough users to really have one that's going to bog down the system. But if you were in a school environment or even a home, once my kids get older and they have devices, we could maybe turn that on and use it. So a lot of features packed in for a relatively cheap price point. They have the next level up, which is the HDs. Those are expensive. Those are like $300 an access point. So these ones have actually come down in price. So the AC Pro is $120. You can get the lower end models that don't have like 5 gigahertz. You know, I don't know. Kind of hard, but actually we might talk about this when you talk about your Bitdefender box. If you're okay with slower speeds, there's even really affordable versions of this. But I thought $120 was actually pretty affordable for a powerful access point.
And where'd you install it?
So right in the center of my home, our living room. So you've been in my house, right? Yep. In our living room, pretty much right above the sofa. It's right next to our ceiling fan. Super easy to install. Comes with the mounting thing, drilled a hole. For me, at least, my attic, I have access to it. And that, obviously, I'm in a ranch, so it's very easy. I have this, I've posted about it. It's a super long drill bit, maybe 3 or 4 feet long. It's meant to go in, and you can go down the wall. Well, I just shot it straight up. I went into the attic and I grabbed it and Hannah held onto the screw down below and I pulled it, and you tape the wire to the bottom, just pull it out, and you're all set. So it was a 10-minute install.
Yeah. No, that's very, very cool. Mark Robson in the chat room says he wished there was a way to mute the motion on all his phones. I mute mine. My wife forgets and the dogs go nuts with the motion chime. For the dollars. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I agree, Mark. So that was one thing when it was kind of odd to get used to setting up that ring for my mother-in-law and father-in-law. So they each have their own phone, and we installed on the iMac too. And you're right. It's kind of nice that one doesn't control all of them, because he might want the alerts because he's leaving, but she's at home, so she doesn't want them on. It is nice you can do it device by device, but you're right. There needs to be another toggle for turn all off on all devices so that it wouldn't alert it.
Yeah.
You got chimes going on everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, yeah. And if it bothers the dogs, then.
Yeah.
Then,
which I feel bad for him now, is because I suggested this for him. We got it all set up, and all of the videos are like frame, frame. I'm like, it's super high def. You guys are going to love it. And like, and then half the time it's like not connected because the Wi-Fi is just so bad there. Yeah. That this weekend they're going to take back down my Airport Extreme, and hopefully all things will be fixed. I set up the Airport Extreme already, so all I have to do is plug it in. It's the same, you know, SSID and password, so they shouldn't have an issue with it.
You know, everybody's going mesh. Everybody's going into the ceilings, and I'm still hooked on these. You know, I have the Google On Hub router, which is just a cylinder, you know, goes somewhere in the house, is kind of made to look cool. And I've been running that, I don't know, a year, maybe a little bit more. It's been a good little router. It's worked out fine. I was hoping Google would do more with it than they did. Like they were promising, oh, we'll be updating it all the time and you'll get new stuff. And that's been a lie. They haven't been. And it's okay. I mean, it's a good router and they've been updating it and stuff, but it's not bad. Well, I'm a Bitdefender. You know, I'm a Bitdefender guy, and I've been using Bitdefender for the last couple of years, and they keep pitching me on these boxes. And I bought version one, which was a little, seriously, it was like that big. Like it was a little box that big, and it had all kinds of problems. It wasn't powerful enough. I mean, they really tried to economize on this box, and it didn't work very well. So the next version they built, I mean, this is seriously big. And this router is as big as this box.
It looks like the On Hub. Is it the exact same size?
It's very similar. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you've seen an On Hub size, it's a bigger version of the Amazon, you know, the Echo device that we all have, the cylinder, a little bit bigger than that. Comes with its own app. Price-wise, $150. So, and you get a free year of unlimited antivirus with it.
You must have gotten a good price because I'm showing $199.
Yeah, that $199 is kind of the standard. $250 is retail. $199 is where you get it everywhere else. And then they gave me, as a customer, they gave me the $150 deal.
Nice.
Okay. Which is pretty cool. And I don't, maybe I'll hunt around to see if there's a link where I can give other people that deal. If you're interested, send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. I'll see if you're interested in that, if you need a router. Not a lot of people just replace the router on the rim, on a whim. But, you know, it's got some security built into it. It's got an app, not as powerful as the OnHub app. OnHub app was nice. I could kind of control. I could give priority to a device. I could set up port forwarding on the phone. With the Bitdefender box, it's kind of a combination between your phone and the web. So you got a port forward on the web. You've got, and then, you know, you can, there's some limited stats on the phone if you kind of want to see who's going where, but if people are, if it's blocking things, if it's doing stuff, you know, it's supposed to have all this smart intelligence to it where it blocks things internally. PCs are doing things they shouldn't be. And then of course it's got that ability to block stuff coming in as well, which is pretty cool. So I definitely have it as a, you know, gate access. All my internet's going through it. And it's definitely making sure that things aren't getting in. Interestingly enough, you know, you get a new router, it sets up everything 192, you know, 192.168.1, yep, whatever. They use the 174, 172, 172.24, which is same thing, private IP, can't get to it from the internet, all those other kinds of things. But I thought, oh, that's interesting that they actually picked a different one.
Right.
It's same thing. But it was just, it was a little bit different.
See, I started out with Apple products, so I'm on the 10.0.1.whatever.
Right, right.
So I still, and yeah, even with pfSense, that's how I still run any, that's how I run everything.
Oh, I'm just a 192. That's the kind of the way I got into everything, you know, 192.168. So good little box, biggest. It seems to stay cool. I haven't had, it hasn't gone down. I can't overload it. I have 25 devices on it. It comes with unlimited Bitdefender. Oh, and it even's got a little VPN piece that comes with it. So they give you a VPN for your phone that gives you 200 gig a month. Is that right? 200 gig or 200 meg?
Back to that box, almost like connecting back or using an external service?
No, using an external service as part of it as well. Let me look and see what that is. Yeah, sorry, it's 200 meg, which isn't a lot, but there's what they're saying is like, hey, if you're in a place and you're going to do something and you absolutely need VPN, we'll take care of you. Like, use us and you can VPN out of here. That'll be enough to do whatever you need to do. Kind of as a, kind of like as an emergency service. They have a paid version of it as well. If you want to, if you want to jump in there, I think it's, you know, $10 a month, called their premium VPN. If you want to do it that way, there's other ways to get it done. And I could probably tunnel back this way too. The one big major drawback, it's got 100 meg limit on it.
Okay. I was just going to say that before you went there. I just looked it up and it has gigabit.
Did it say that?
It did. And it even says the Wi-Fi is fast enough for gigabit.
Oh, you know, it does.
Which is interesting.
So maybe I was looking at a review from an old one. Maybe it was the original.
I was the original.
I bet it was.
I think we were both, because I had Googled it first and I had found the original too. And I saw that it was 100. So I think this new one is gigabit.
What I did, good. Well, that's good. Then there's no complaints there.
There you go. The speeds are good.
Good enough. Well, what I did a speed test and I thought, oh, well, I wonder what that's going to mean for me. And I must never have been able on mine to get more than 100 down, you know,
well, when I was testing. And I've noticed mine goes down after 5 o'clock. I don't know if Cox does something weird or if it's literally just everyone getting home and hitting the Cox service. But I know if I do my test between 8 and like 5, then I get much higher speeds.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's even better that the speed's not throttled in there. You know, I get a cool little activity report associated with it on the web. Like I said, I've got about 25 devices and a little. I can go to the, you know, to the central, to the hub, and say, hey, tell me what's on my network and is it protected or not. It's also doing security scans all the time to say, I could probably flash it. I don't know if I'm gonna. I could probably spend $30 and get a new one.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm trying to.
It might not even be that big of an issue, you know?
Yeah. No. I don't know. I should probably replace it, right? It's just one of those things. Maybe when I move.
Although there's China's way into all the United States homes. Just a simple plug that we have plugged into our wall that's sending back, it's phoning home. sending all of our credentials and everything.
It's hijacked everything.
I thought it was just turning my lamp on and off. My bank account got hacked.
It's gone. You know? Yeah, it's all gone. But it's been interesting. The kids, nobody has complained.
I was just going to ask you. So family, are they getting any sort of errors, blocks,
nope,
anything
like same that? I use the same SSID password, and it just, they came on. I can see when they've
been here. They probably didn't even know that you switched.
No, nobody said anything. And I forgot to tell them, like, oh, hey, I put a new router in. And they're like, no, it just works. Yeah. So it's been interesting. I'm going to continue to monitor it. There's a lot. All of a sudden, you kind of, you know, if you're a security guy, there's a lot of stuff to look at. And you start getting crazy about, you know, do I have the most recent updates on everything? Do I,
right,
you know, and some, you know, on the crypto boxes, some of those miners throw off security warnings,
yeah,
all the time. So I shut it off on those. Shouldn't, but I do. So then on the report, it says needs attention because it's not necessarily protected. It's saying, oh, there's probably some things. So if you're OCD, this is probably not the product for you because you're going to want to lock down every single device. You have to make some decisions, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like pfSense. Ever since I've had pfSense, if I go and help someone with their network, I go to like log into like a Cisco, not a Cisco, like any consumer model Cisco, I guess, or Apple, anything like that. I'm like, where are all your options? I can't change anything. How do you customize anything in here? Because I get so used to having the in-depth detail that pfSense gives you.
Yeah,
I love.
No, right on.
You know, that just, granularity is huge.
It just creates a new set of things for me to do and worry about.
Which is good. You know, we need those things. Tech guys, what else would we do?
I don't know. Mike, I'm going to throw the link to this upgrade in chat room. Let me do that real quick. Tell me what that takes you to. Tell me what the deal on that, if you click on that link there, tell me what the deal is. Cause if it's
$199,
yeah, so that must know it's me. And
yeah,
so it's giving me, cause mine says $149 cause I'm a current customer.
Yeah. But to sale price $199.
If you are a current customer, a current Bitdefender customer, you might look on the website to see if you can get the $149 deal. Their unlimited antivirus is $99 a year anyway. So for $50 for me, anyways, for $50, pick up a new router, give it a try, try some things with security. It was more of an experiment. I left the on hub in its place. It may come back. So gave me, it's worked pretty well for me. Dresden is not a big fan of Bitdefender. There's no surprise there, but, it's worked well for me. And if you got some questions on, let me know. Thought I'd let you guys No, that's what we're doing. Both Mike and I trying different things on the Wi-Fi. All right, let's see if there's anything else here. Hey, let's just go off. You got some new sunglasses. It's summer.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily a tech gadget, but tell me a little bit.
No, it's not. That's why I kind of, you know, I thought, well, it's just Jim and I'll talk about them. So,
yeah.
So I'll show you these ones first. So these were my buddies and I broke them. So they're mine. Cause I had to buy him new ones. So these are the Ray-Bans, right? Like these are classic. I mean, $150 to $250 sunglasses. And so Hannah and I both needed new sunglasses. Like you said, summer's coming up. We love sunglasses, but the problem is Hannah and I break so many sunglasses. Mm. They get in the car, we sit on them. Emmett grabs them. He breaks them. I've run them over before. Like I can't, but I love solid lenses. Like polarized lenses are really big for me. Like I'm a kind of a, I mean, once I started wearing the polarized Oakleys, I just got really addicted to them, but I'm hard on my sunglasses. So I was looking for a good pair of sunglasses, relatively cheap. But by accident, actually, it was through Instagram. Someone was talking about these. I found Shady Rays is the name of the brand, but they look identical. So Ray-Bans and Shady Rays. And the look through the lens is identical to both polarized. You get them in all different colors and everything like that. But what I liked about these, what kind of got me to buy them was their replacement policy. So their whole thing is, you know, live life to the extreme and like, we got you. So they will replace these with, so you can lose them, you can break them, whatever. They'll replace two of them for just like $8 shipping.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So they're only $45 to begin with. So they're already cheaper. The build quality is awesome. I think just a tad under Ray-Ban. So obviously Ray-Ban, you're going to get the highest quality. They're expensive, but for $45, metal hinges. I know, like, we're nerding out. I'm just kind of a sunglass nerd.
I like it.
But you get your metal hinges, you got nice polarized glasses.
Yeah.
These are the blackout edition. And then I've got the green, you can't really tell, they're green reflective lenses in there, which I like.
I'm an amber fan myself. I like the amber.
So you can get amber. You can get Hannah. We're going to get Hannah the wood framed ones. So nice. They're actually like a wood frame. And the replacement policy, like, lose them. I can just send them a thing saying, hey, here's my order number from when I ordered them. I lost them. Give them $8 and they'll replace them. If they break if the lenses shatter or anything like that, they'll actually do it without the shipping. So they'll send you a new one because they're not supposed to break.
Yeah, I wonder how that's going to work. I wonder if that'll work for them financially.
Yeah, they've been around for a little bit. I don't know how long. I think a few years, and they've been doing pretty well. I waited till someone else had grabbed them before I grabbed them because, you know, you can never trust those like things you see on Instagram. But it was actually a close friend of mine that said, no, I really like them. So
yeah,
I got them, and didn't feel ripped off. I got Hannah a pair too, and she loves them. So I did put a link in there, and I'll copy it in here.
Cool. Yeah, put it in the full disclosure. Show notes. I mean,
it is a
referral link.
Yes, it is.
Link. Yeah. No, you should do that for sure.
And I don't think I get like anything for it, but I was
make sure I get a link for that router for that access point in the show notes too. The one you talked about earlier, Ubiquiti.
Oh yes,
I will. Yeah. Make sure that gets in the show notes, but. Yeah, no, you know, it's interesting when you find those kinds of, I can't wear those kinds of sunglasses because I'm blind.
Plastic ones?
Yeah, I'm blind.
Oh, non-prescription. Right.
I need them. And finding someone who will make, I mean, you can go to places and they'll make prescriptions that kind of look like that. Glasses are such a ripoff. I'll be honest with you. They cost $50 to make and they charge $400 for them. I mean, it's the mafia, right?
Yep. And that's what I liked about these. They actually felt like the price I was paying was like, okay, $45. That's probably a reasonable price for polarized lenses, solid making. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And I get so tired because I need super strong glasses because I am blind. And so it's always like I go to Shopko. That's for folks who don't know, Shopko is like our Walmart. We have that here in the Midwest. And I love the guy. I know the doc there. And so he always does the eye exam. But I always walk out with a $500 bill for my glasses for whatever. I have to get super thin because, you know, it has to be bent in a certain way. And if it's not that way, they're really big. And they put the coating on it. And I had to have progressives and all that other stuff, right?
Yep.
So this time, my daughter needed glasses. And I thought, you know, I'm going to try something new. And I'd heard of this company called Warby Parker. And
love Warby Parker. That's the way my glasses are too. I wear contacts, but
yeah, incredible service. Log in, order five lenses. I'm sorry, order five frames. They ship them to you. Try them on at home. Get the family's advice. I took mine to work, put them on. Had the girls at work. How do they look? What do you think? We took kind of bids, like which one should we get? And then I ordered a pair. Now I ordered the first pair I ordered. I did the progressives, the indexed lens. They were $380, let's say something like that. Still pretty expensive.
Mm-hmm.
A standard pair of glasses at Warby Parker, $100, which is great. Frame, lens, single prescription or single vision, whatever they call that.
Yep,
$99, which is great. My daughter's prescription, $99. So, I had my Bose Quiet Comfort 35s on at work. I was messing around with trying to get the Bluetooth working. I was going to use those as my conference headphones when I'm talking on the phone. And I was taking them off. It slipped out of my left hand. And those things have a pretty good tension.
Yes. Like a spring. Once you pull them out.
Yeah. And it shot across. It hit my glasses and hit. I thought I broke my nose. It hit me so hard. And there's a little metal piece on those Quiet Comfort 35s. And it dug the Grand Canyon into my glasses. Like
one solid scratch all the way across.
Fortunately, not all the way, but halfway. Like I've never scratched my glasses that bad. I have no idea how that even happened. Or it was like they must have like a diamond tipped edge on the end, right? It's diamond tipped bling,
right?
Just right across, you know. Cutting holes so I could shoot through them or something. I don't know.
Anyways. Hey, now you know. Yeah, if you need to get out of your car, if you crash, just take your Quiet Comforts and just
Yeah.
Out of your window.
No, right on. So I tried rubbing it and buffing it. No way, man. It had gouged into it. So I called Warby Parker and they're like, hey, good news. We warranty your glasses for anything for a year. And they were like, just send them in and we'll replace them. And I'm like, well, okay, wait a minute. I'm blind. I can't just send them in. So the guy's like, I'm terribly sorry. You know, that's what we have to do. And I'm like, well, I'll tell you what, I've had these for a year. I'll just order a new set. I'll have two different and I can accessorize. I've never done that with my glasses ever. Yeah. Right? Why not? Why not? It's 2018. We can have two different pairs of glasses, right? So I went through the whole thing, ordered the frames, took them to work. We picked out them. My wife picked out what she liked. We decided on a frame. And then I got the email from the guy, Orby Parker. He goes, hey, good news. Like, I can't replace your super expensive ones. The warranty will only cover a new set of single vision. Mm-hmm. He goes, but we're going to send those right now. So don't send anything in yet. We'll send you the single vision ones. And if those work, then you're good to go. And we'll replace them that way. I'm like, okay, we'll just send them. I'm getting ready to order another pair anyway. So just send them. And I was getting ready to drop, $350 on another pair. So 2 days ago, the single vision frame, whatever they are, came.
Yeah.
I put them on. I saw I could actually see better than I was seeing.
Really? With the progressive ones. Wow.
Yeah. I was like, I could have been seeing things. And so, it was like, you could not believe all of a sudden I'm like, you know what? I think I can deal with $99 glasses again. Like, I'm not sure I need to go with the bifocal things, but how cool and what great service it was and what great technology to get this, shows up on your doorstep, try out the frames, great service, oh, totally. Got back to me. I have no referral link for Warby Parker, but if you want to add technology to and great service to what you're doing from a frames perspective, man. That was you add that to HelloFresh and you weren't here when we talked about HelloFresh the other.
No, but I've heard a lot about it.
Yeah.
Not a lot of work.
Dude, changing my life.
Really?
Yes.
You are using it.
Yeah, we're using it. Yeah, we are using the crap out of it. My daughter loves cooking with it. We talked about it on Micah's show 2 weeks ago. Can't say good enough things about what's going on at HelloFresh.
Nice.
Yeah. So two really cool. And again, all around, we're getting boxes of, I'm getting boxes of wine every other month that are showing up. They're picking four bottles for me and sending them.
I'm doing it every month and they're gone at the end of the weekend. Like they don't even last a week. It's like, oh, what bottle should I have tonight? And like 4 nights later, they're all gone.
Are you using that Bright Cellars or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I don't
they
even
called me actually like, hey, we're having a deal. You're one of our best customers. I'm like, am I one of your only customers?
Well, I delayed it a week or I delayed it a month. They don't let you delay it any more than that. So I think you can skip a month.
Cause it's not cheap.
No, $68 for four bottles. That's not, no. And it's not the greatest. I'm going to cancel. We're going to get this box. It's shipped already.
Yeah.
So I think probably
this is my last box, I think.
Yeah, there's
they're
better.
Good, but they're not.
No, they're not that
they're
good.
They're not like worth that much.
No, the Bright Cellars don't recommend as much.
No.
HelloFresh, if you're struggling to eat meals, like if you're struggling to cook meals, like HelloFresh can change things. Their ingredients, Mike, are incredible. Like it's some better looking fresh vegetables than I could get at the supermarket, delivered in a box that's completely recyclable. I mean, it's kind of amazing what they're doing.
That's good to hear. Cause the one thing we had one person at work who had used HelloFresh and they said the ingredients weren't arriving that fresh actually. That was her one complaint about it.
No.
You've had good luck with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're on the three plan, so like $120 a week, which is expensive. But I tell you what, actually I would spend that two times at B Dubs for the two of us or for even for the three. Yeah. If I take the three of us to Buffalo Wild Wings, it's $75.
Right. Oh, totally.
Yeah. And it's like,
that's one meal. So, and you're only paying a little bit more for three.
And it's not even that good for you. Right.
Right.
Exactly. Where we've just had some amazing meals, from a Korean bowl, Korean chicken bowl to they have tacos. We're having flatbread. It's not magic and it's not cheaper, but it's changed the way, my daughter's enjoying, she preps them for us.
Yeah, so we come home. You enjoy that little bit of prep. right?
Yeah. No, and you do. You got to enjoy some of the prep.
Because she's probably home for the summer now.
She is. Yeah, she'll be home through mid-August. Perfect. So,
yeah, so yeah. That's great then if she likes
to. Oh, and then you can downgrade. So, you know, we're doing the four-person three times a week now, $120. When she goes back to school, we'll probably downgrade it. I'll be honest. We were doing two meals a week and then just kind of sticking them in there. We might go to three. So yeah. We got an extra one for the weekend. They're that good.
Okay.
I'll give so, them a
shot. Hannah's, yeah. We've been talking about it. With the two little kids, it's hard to like, I'm not going to pay that much to pay them. You know what I mean? So like, no. We're still going to need to go to the store to get stuff. So it's like, maybe once they're older, I don't know. We'll see.
You know what? Start on the cheat meals. So go two people, two times, and try it for a week where you just get two meals.
And even just
for the two of you. Yeah. And then if you get, maybe you can get a date night or on the weekend, maybe the two of you could cook it together for lunch.
Yeah.
On a Saturday or something when you have some time. But pretty cool. The cool part about it's the technology. So you log into the app and you can skip infinite numbers of weeks. So if you're going to be on vacation for 3 or 4 weeks, Mark Robson saying he's on his 7th wine tour. So maybe, you know, they buy wine at cases at a time. So maybe he's gone on a wine tour for 3 or 4 weeks. Can't take HelloFresh. You just skip them. When you come back, you can turn it back on. We've had fun, Mike. We'll make a meal and then we'll sit down and they're super tasty and really different. And for us, you know, we kind of gotten in a rut with our meals, you know? And so here we are enjoying like fresh food again. And we're like, oh, I could have been tasting things.
Yeah. You know, food has taste. This is fantastic.
Holy crap. This stuff has taste. And so we'll go like, let's log in and pick the next weeks. And so together we go through, they have eight in the menu and then you pick two or three. That's been cool. I mean, that's been really, really cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll give it a shot. No. As a quick update. So Shady Rays does do prescription lenses and they're super cheap and they have the same replacement policy, which is we'll replace it no matter what.
What's super cheap?
So, so single vision tinted, not polarized. Okay. So just a tinted sunglass, kind of the cool look, $58.
Oh, wow.
58, that's with your single vision subscription. And then they still have the same replacement policy. Lost or broken, they'll replace it. Just pay this, the $8 shipping. If you want to go polarized, which I'm such a fan, that adds $55. So they're $103.
That's not too bad. I'm going to pay that same thing at Warby Parker, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so $103. And then amber? You get the replacement policy.
Amber forever. Polarized?
They're polarized.
Okay. And the how long is the warranty on those?
You can do amber, you can do any color you want.
Okay. How long is the policy on this?
I think forever.
Oh, well, nothing's forever, but it's there's no end.
Until they go out of business.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, that might be because I like those. I was going to order a new pair.
Oh, wait. Oh,
here we go.
Prescription warranty. All frames are covered under our lifetime craftsman warranty, but the Shady Rays loss or broken warranty does not apply to prescription orders. Never mind.
Wah. Well, no.
See, they say that, and then down below they have the free lost or broken replacements. They should take right. that logo off.
A little confusing.
You got to read the fine print.
That's okay. I mean, that's a good.
Still for $58,
right.
Get a pair of prescription sunglasses.
Yeah,
not bad.
Yeah, I ordered one of the frames that I ordered from Warby Parker. I actually thought would make a good pair of sunglasses. It was a big, dark frame, and I think I'm just going to throw. Prescription. The plan was just to throw a prescription lens in there and make it work. So
amber adds a little bit.
Yeah,
that always
no
adds on. No, the 148 okay. with amber so polarized prescription lenses.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit different. You know, those lens, the manufacturers, those lenses, the prescription sunglasses ones are a couple extra steps, so it costs a little bit.
Oh,
more.
Yeah,
they can crank out those regular lenses on a robot. So they, you know, just crank them, grind them down and crank them. Well, cool. All right. Well, the link will be in the show notes if you want to check that out. And some cool, not necessarily tech related, but we covered it at the end of the show. So it's some good stuff. I'm kind of craving some wine. I might have to go get some for the post show.
Yeah, there we go. Go grab some.
As we go in there. Well, we'll remind everyone as you're thinking about. As we're thinking about the post show, just a couple reminders. One, if you want to support us on Patreon, you can do that. I am changing it. We had Patreon out there as a crypto at the end. I'm just going to make it available on Patreon each week. You don't have to be a subscriber if you want to catch the crypto post show. You can just head out there. Head out to theaverageguy.tv/support or theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. Either one of those gets you out there. We post the video and the audio when I have it of the post show available for you on there. It's free, but if you want to subscribe to us and support the show, you can do that for as little as a dollar. If you got any comments, feedback, anything you want to send to me, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Find me on Twitter @JayCollison. Lots of great conversations going on Twitter. Follow me and then go follow Tony Rayner. He might be the most interesting Twitter person out there ever. Tony, I don't know how you do it, dude. I just don't know how he does it. He's interesting. Maybe that's why he does it. So
that's why he's so good at it, because he's actually interesting.
Because he's actually interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, they've been great. Got a talk right before this show, actually. I'm getting a riding lawnmower this weekend and put out on Twitter. And of course, it's the guys from the podcast, everyone, Dennis, Rayner. I'm going to forget people, but I'm going to forget a lot of people because there are a lot of responses. They were all chiming in on, hey, look at this brand. Look at this brand. This brand uses these motors. It was awesome. So you guys are great on Twitter. I really appreciate you guys helping me out. I can always count on you guys when I have a question.
Nice. No Husqvarna robot mower?
No. You know, for the price I'm spending, actually, I should probably look at if those have come down in price because they're pretty expensive. But Memorial Day sales, that's why I'm doing it this weekend.
Okay.
Home Depot has some great great deals.
Nice. So. What are you gonna what brand are you gonna get?
It's either gonna be a John Deere or a Cub Cadet. So
JD. Those are two good brands.
They are two good brands. JD, the only reason that's one's coming out a little bit more for me right now is that for Memorial Day, they're throwing in the free $200. Like the trailer that you can pull behind the riding lawnmower to like put, you know, mulch in or dirt in.
Did an acreage appear on your property while I was after I left?
Well, it's a lot of lawn to mow. It's with that front yard. The backyard is not a lot of lawn to mow. The backyard takes me no time at all. It's that front yard and it wraps all the way around. I got three streets. So I am on a weird U-shaped lot. So I've got a ton of sidewalk and grass. So
you do. I'm just kidding.
It's about half an acre.
But how great would it be to have a robot lawnmower?
I know. I should probably think about it.
Mowing it down. I'd even come over and help you put the wire down.
I got a lot of idiot kids in my neighborhood, though. They'd probably come steal it, get their finger chopped off or whatever.
Well, first of all, the blades aren't that big. True. And then second of all, it screams like a Furby when you turn it upside down.
Yeah, but then you just drop it and then it would be broken. I don't know.
Hold on. Robot mower. Let's see. Oh, they're still pretty expensive.
How much are they?
Well, you could get them as the low end, the smaller ones, you could get for as little as $1,500.
Oh, that's cheaper than what I'm paying for the riding.
Yeah, that's on Amazon. That's the Husqvarna AM3, AM310. Let me take a peek at this.
Oh, Jim, shoot, you're changing up the whole thing now.
Let's hold on. How much lawn space do you think you have?
My lot is half an acre. My house isn't that big of a thing. So maybe a quarter of an acre.
Ooh,
say quarter. It's
the very first thing it says quarter of an acre working area means auto mower can do more. So it would mow up to a quarter of an acre.
But it has to know the whole space of my lot, I bet. Well,
what you put the wire down for?
Does it say lot or does it say mowing area?
It says quarter acre working area means auto mower can do more.
Huh.
I don't know what that means. $1,500. Well, let's go back to the more expensive one.
Okay, what is it going? Because I'm about to spend $1,800.
Oh.
So for $1,800, what can I get?
The next step up is the 315 model. It's $1,600. We'll say $1,599. And let's see if it's got a. This also says quarter of an acre.
I still think that might work, though.
Dude. I would come help you install because you know you got to put the stuff the wire down, and we would need to build a little robot gate so it would have a
go place under
to go through to go under so it could get.
Or I would just have to. I think you can also switch it. I would just lift it, put it in the backyard, put it in the front yard.
Yeah,
I think that's an option. I think I read on that because there were some people
So man. And you don't have any steep hills on there or anything.
Very flat.
Yeah, the 315 would get you 1600. So it's not it's a little over your budget, but what you're getting
16, at. No, 18 is what I'm going to spend on this writing.
Yeah. You might want to look, because it also, let's see, there, you got to get an install kit that comes with it. That adds a little bit of the price. So there's a small, medium, and large install kit. The small one adds about $100 to the price, and then it goes $120, $180 to the price. So take a look at those. Take a look. A little bit more, but you don't need to, you know.
Some at Lowe's.
Like Tony says, a lot less maintenance for the robot.
Yeah. He says, Ryder's overkill for a fourth quarter acre. I agree, Tony, but the only thing about mine is, like, it's the bagging, because I have to bag all the time, and that's 2-3 stripes on those tiny, because I have a tiny push mower, and I've got to stop, empty, go, 2 more, 3 stripes, stop. Yeah. And, you know, it's just, it takes me, it's the time. It's not really the, I'm not like, oh man, I'm just so tired. It's not the effort, it's the time. It would save me so much time. It takes me 4.5 hours to do my entire lawn, edging, mowing, and by the time I clean it, like, blow everything off, 4.5 hours. That's a lot of time.
Yeah.
For mowing.
Free shipping on Amazon right now.
I think this might be it. It comes with a starter kit.
Does it? Yeah, yes. Look into it. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dude. Man.
Dude, Husqvarna.
I think this might be a game changer.
How great would that be? Robot lawnmower. Like, you could put stickers on the top, like, touch me, you die. Well, just run that thing, like, store it in the backyard, and then just run it at night.
Yeah.
You
know,
if you run it at 2 a.m, nobody, there's no, your kids aren't, no kids are out there at 2 a.m. All right. Well, you think about that. While you're thinking about that, we'll remind everyone, of course, the AverageGuy.tv platform, both web and media hosting powered by Maple Grove Partners. If you want secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from the people that you know and you trust, and those are the people who trust Husqvarna robot mowers. Yes. And you know, I'm really jonesing for one of those myself. Like, I just don't have the right yard for it, but I really want one of those bad. You can head over to maplegrovepartners.com. Plans start as little as $10 a month. You don't forget, you can also listen to you can listen on our app that we have available, both Android and iPhone. We thank LastPass for their sponsorship of the show. They've been great sponsors and great supporters. If you haven't tried out LastPass, I use the heck out of my LastPass. Head over there and start with a free plan. I think an annual plan now is $24. So give it a shot, and well worth your time and your effort while you're over there. Let's see if there's anything else. All right. I think that'll do it for the end of the show. We thank you guys for coming out. We'll do a little crypto in the post show. Thanks for coming out. We'll let you know next week if Mike has bought the robot mower.
Yeah, I'll let you know. It's going to be one of these two. So,
all right. All right. Well, that was say goodnight, everybody.